week's sermon is called Different Yet the Same. The scripture reading is Luke 10, 25 to 29. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
Glad that you're with us this morning. Just thinking about this, what we often do on Sunday mornings when I get up to speak is just if there's someone here that you don't know, that you may want to go to them and introduce yourself and ask them who they are. And then it just struck me, who are you? There's a lot more to us than just our name. If you want a really long conversation, honestly answer the question when someone comes to you and says, "Morning, my name is, who are you?" "Well, I was born, blah, blah, blah," and tell your whole story about your whole life. And that's going to be a lot longer than my sermon today. So we'd like to take the opportunity to stand up where we are. Don't ask someone if you don't know them who they are. Just say good morning. So let's do that. So obviously, based on our reading this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at a really familiar story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But what I'd like to do this morning is just take a look at some of the attitudes in this story. And overall, for me anyway, this is a story of kindness, authentic kindness. And there's no one more kind than God himself. And when Paul talks about kindness, he talks about grace and talks about love and this wonderful goodness. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us. And there's more to that phrase, saved us, than just forgiveness of sins. Amen? Saved us means welcoming us, saving us from ourselves, saving us from all negative thinking that sometimes overwhelms us, saves us from selfishness, saves us. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us, not by righteous things we had done, but by his mercy. He saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Lord. In the story of the Good Samaritan, one of the themes in this is this of grace. It's this goodness. It's this kindness. And so you know the story fairly well, that there was an expert in the law who stood up to test Jesus. And may I just say from the outset, that's never a good thing to do. And so the question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the response, of course, of Jesus, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And he said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. And then he had to add this. Do this. Do this. You know the answer. Do it. But do it authentically and for the rest of your life. Let this loving kindness be part of who we are. So there's characters in this story. There's the character, of course, of Jesus himself being there, and he's telling the story. In the story, we have a couple of people. We have the robbers. We have a Levite and priest. We have the Samaritan. And the person who sometimes gets lost in this is the expert in the law, the lawyer, if you will. So just very quickly, I just want to take a look at each one and maybe where we can find ourselves in this story. Now, it's interesting that he tells the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I don't mean to be mean about it, but some would say, especially in that time, there is no such thing as a good Samaritan. There was this diametrically opposed relationship between many Jews and Samaritans. And you remember the story once where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well, and she says to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Now, for many of us who live here in Canada, we're known as very much a multicultural nation. This is no problem. But that was a specific problem at that time, where Jew, necessarily Gentiles, didn't really get along to one another. And I'm not going to go off on a long diatribe, but you know, the book of Galatians was the first New Testament book that was written, 48 AD. It was the first New Testament book that was written. And guess what the theme of the book of Galatians is all about? It's all about Jew and Gentile coming together as one, sitting down at the table together and eating and discussing and fellowshipping with one another. Because we're from Canada, we have no problem with that. That was a big problem that started off in the church. Coming together as one. And so here's the story, this Samaritan who is going to play a significant part in the lives of people. In fact, when Ed was teaching us from the story of Joseph, one of the readings that we had that one day, I thought, wow, that grabbed my attention, where it said that the Old Testament Egyptians and Israelites would not eat together. There was no way they would sit down and eat together. And here's this story telling us about this Samaritan, this lawyer, if you will, expert in the law, religious law, I suspect, wanted to hear what Jesus was going to say about all of this. And he tells the story about this one who was beaten and so forth, and various people come along and what happens at the end. You know the story pretty well. Let's just take a look at a couple of points. Number one, the attitude of the robbers. Here comes this man. We can rob this man. We can strip this man of his dignity, of his wallet, and everything else. We're going to do this because we want to do this. What's the attitude? Might makes right. Might makes right. Aren't we glad that Jesus never said might makes right? Aren't we glad that Jesus forgives us of our sins? No strings attached. The grace of God, the kindness of God. Might makes right, might seldom makes right. Jesus talked about this on several occasions in Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12. You know the scripture very, very well. The greatest among you will be your power? No. The greatest among you will be your, help me, servant. Can you think of people who are your servants? I'm looking at a large group of people who are servants. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to exalt himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus could have come along and demanded everything, and yet he comes with this attitude of giving. The second story that I think is unique in this is the story of the Levite and the priest. And you know this, and I'll just go ahead and read this again quickly. This is not on PowerPoint, by the way, so I don't want to give anyone in the back room a heart attack back there. He says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man pass by on the other side, so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So what's the attitude of the Levite and the priest? Well, we don't know all the details of the story. In fact, it's just a story that Jesus is making clear, is trying to make the point. But here's maybe their attitude. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Which in some cases sounds pretty good. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. But what we learn from the story is, what's mine is mine, and I'm happy to share it with you. There's a difference between what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. I'm keeping mine, you're keeping yours. We'll be polite to one another, we'll say hi to one another, wish you goodwill, but never the twain will mix. Jesus comes along and he pours himself out into the lives of others. And Jesus said, what is mine is yours. More than that, he says, here's who I am. And I give myself totally to you. This is a story of loving kindness and grace. And the reason I started from Titus talking about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is one of grace and goodness and kindness and giving and us being filled by him. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us, not by righteous things we had done, but by his mercy. He saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generally. It's this story of working outside on a hot day, being exhausted and sweaty, getting in the shower, letting it refresh us constantly. And in the context that's being said, it's the Holy Spirit filling us, washing us always throughout our life. The kindness of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We can't help but want to give ourselves to other people, serving them, loving them. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and on and on. It's this ongoing love that God pours out into our lives, which will make the world a place God has always wanted his world to be. His people pouring out the love and the grace to others that God has poured out into our lives. That's the story of this Levite and priest who says, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Notice, if you will, Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 25. A little bit of a lengthy passage, but I think it's significant. Listen to what Paul says, Romans 4, starting in verse 25. Christ was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification, just as if I never sinned. He did this for us. Okay. Now, maybe because we've been Christians for a long time, some of us have been Christians for a long time, that passage just goes like this, zip. But notice, if you read this for the first time, if you've heard the story of Christ for the first time, that Jesus Christ was delivered over to his death for our sins and was raised to life so that we might be set free. Do you remember the first time you heard that and the first time you were absolutely convicted that this is what Jesus has done for us? And do you remember what was going on inside of you when you wanted to take that stand and say to Jesus, yes, I accept what you have done for us. I will live for you forever. And do you remember that moment? Do you remember that time when you were baptized? Do you remember that overwhelming feeling that just is there inside of us? You know, we can recapture that. We can recapture that. Not that we have to be baptized over and over again. It's just a reminder of who Jesus is, what he has done for us. And we may know the right answers, but if our heart can be connected again to it like it was from the beginning, it'll give strength to others. that kindness will be passed on to others. Because he says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And then this, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. So a man is robbed. He's left for dead on the side of the road. People go past. I'm busy. I can't stop and help. Whatever excuse you want to give. But Jesus leaves us with, if I've done this for you, what can you, with the help of my grace and love, with the help of Holy Spirit, what can be done? What can you do to make this world a better place by helping others? Because God has demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. The attitude of Mike makes right? No. The attitude of what's mine is mine and what yours is yours and never the twain shall mix? No. But the Samaritan has this attitude. What's mine is yours. What I have, God's blessed me with. It's yours. Let me help you with this. Let me share this with you. I love this back in Galatians chapter 6. I love the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, very familiar passage of scripture. Don't be deceived. This is Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he sows. The one who sows pleases to his sinful nature. From that sinful nature will reap destruction. Pardon me. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction, and the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then this phrase. Do you ever get exhausted? Let us not become weary in doing good. For at that proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Share with one another and share with the world just as Jesus does. So the attitude of might makes right? No. What's mine is mine and what's yours is yours? No. What's mine is yours? Absolutely. And then this last thing I'd like to look at, because in the story, he gets lost. We hear about him at the beginning and we hear him at the end, but he gets lost. An expert in the law says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus responds to all of that. Here's this expert in the law. He wanted to know the right answers. Specifically, I think, for himself. He knew probably many scriptures. It's not the only time. When you look back, if you get the chance, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you get the chance, just notice how people wanted to justify themselves when Jesus came into the room. They wanted to present themselves in a certain way. We have the scriptures. We know the scriptures. Is it possible to be able to memorize reams of scripture? and not really be spiritually attuned to Jesus. Once Jesus said to a group of very religious people, John 5, 39 and 40, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. But these scriptures testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me for life." One of the difficulties that can come by those of us who love to spend a lot of time in the scriptures, and this is something that I'm aware of constantly, because I love to be in the scriptures. I love listening to different speakers. I love getting deep into the Word of God. I want to learn more. I want to know more things constantly. I live my life this way. I have the best job in the world. I get to come to an office. I get to listen to profound speakers. We just happen to live in this time where you can listen to N.T. Wright and Scott McKnight and a variety of others. And just listen to what's being said and give new insight, new understanding of Scripture. Listening to it, studying it. It's so fantastic. It's great. I want to share this with you. And still be a million miles away from God. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them, you possess eternal life. But these scriptures testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me for life. Is it possible to have knowledge of all kinds of scripture and still be a million miles away from God? You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And so this is what I had to do this week. Quote this to myself, thinking that it's Jesus talking to me. Donnie, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life because you know a lot of scriptures. But these scriptures testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me. And I would say, what do you mean I refuse to come to you? If you would just give a tenth of your time, Donnie, to me, instead of just reading the scriptures, I think the scriptures would be a lot more important to you. The scriptures testify about him. We give ourselves to him. We receive God's grace through him. We love him. The very life we have is in him. The very air we breathe is in him. It's in him we have eternal life. An expert in the law wants to test Jesus with questions. Jesus doesn't want to test. He just says, "I give myself to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can read the scriptures. We thank you how they help us. And Father, we apologize for the times in our life when the scriptures have become more important to us than you. We thank you for Jesus, who is our life. And we love you, Lord Jesus. May you be our priority. And with that, may we be your people, being loving kind to everyone we meet, letting loving kindness define our lives as most of that define the life of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.